exploring and empowering participatory culture communities with the use of online ethnographic platforms. So give him a warm applause.
Thank you. Thank you. Is this, yeah, now it's on. Warmly welcome for this 25-minute session about exploring participatory cultures. What we are going to talk is that I'll give a short warm-up on participatory culture phenomenon, which we are also all part of in this particular conference, and we are using the case of Burning Man in Burning Stories research project and how to set up a conference with the tools that then Ugi will dive into semantic social network applications. And then we have a brand new case bubble between us where we are finishing it, and then we'll ideally have a short time for Q&A. So to put us all on the same page is, what do we mean by participatory cultures that many communities are growing expansionally? And this is the definition when we refer quite a bit to it, is individuals do not act as consumers but also as contributors. As within this community, as with Burning Man, as with Boom, as with artistic communities, tech communities. And in reference to Burning Man, we are bringing a case. There were a request to talk about the Borderland, which is Nordic Burning Man, and tech platforms that Hugi has been especially responsible on launching. If you are interested on Borderland tech platforms, there is a talk you made
at camp this summer.
At CCC camp. So check that talk if you are interested on how the artistic communities applying different type of platforms. Going then towards the content is a Burning Stories research project is applying this type of methodology in its work. And to tell you a bit what the Burning Stories is about, it's a really different type of research project which is funded by no one, and it's a team of 8 scholars, 2 tech experts and 4 artists. And how it's different is everybody is invited who is interested on the phenomenon, and also that we are sharing the data back. Is we share the data back to the communities before we even publish it. And that has been welcomed pretty nicely. If there are academics in the audience, I'm happy to share how it was when I was in Stanford and in other university where I'm based. Like it's very new type of phenomenon, and this our work is enabling that we can share data before even publishing it. What is the Burning Stories about? Is that we are studying, similarly than it could be studied here, how does the participation to certain community transform you, and what's the impact to the society? And then we are studying different organizational models, what the different communities apply, because obviously there is a lot of variation on that. And then ultimately it is platform for science and arts, which leaves that there is a conference coming up in Finland, in Aalto University. It's about participatory cultures organization and leadership. And what we know so far is that we will have 60 to 80 participants, organizational scientists, community leaders, decision makers from NGO, and staff from Burning Man headquarters in San Francisco. That's basically it. And we'll be at Aalto University, which is a combination of engineering school, art school, and business school, so it's kind of ready to be already blended with different scientific approaches. And now I'm giving a floor to Hugi. This is where we are now, and now we are going to set up the conference, which is that we enable equal participation by zooming into collective intelligence. How do we do that? Off to you.
All right. Does this work? Excellent. Okay, hello everyone. My name is Huye, or Hugi, or however you like to pronounce it. That is all fine. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about how we're going to do this. When Yuki's talking about data, that data is really people's stories. It's the experiences, lived experience of people and the things that they know about the world. That's ethnographic ground data. So how do you turn stories into something that you can explore in a quantified fashion if you have hundreds of thousands of stories? How do you really explore that? And how do you explore that in a way in which you learn something new? Because, of course, a lot of people now are interested in stuff like how, you know, how do we get AIs to quantify this sort of stuff using some sort of language analysis. But, of course, we all know AIs are statistics. Statistics that are based on things that we already know about the world. But what do we? How do we do this when we want to know something new, right? Okay, so this is pretty simple. Burning Stories, we just have an online forum. This is pretty empty at the moment because we just started it up. But it's based on a methodology we've developed at EdgeWriters. How many, does anyone know about EdgeWriters here? No. So we're basically, we've been around since 2012. We run a bunch of stuff, one thing called Unmonastery. We run a thing called Open Care. Basically, communities innovating in weird ways out on the edges. What we've developed is a methodology called semantic social network analysis. I'm going to walk you through sort of what's that about. Most of you will recognize something like this. It's an online forum. Here we have a story shared in one of our projects in EdgeWriters on next generation internet technologies. Here, Guy Matias is talking about organizing a society for a whole systems approach for developing the internet, something like that. Okay, what is he talking about? Well, we have ethnographers that are reading through all of the conversations on that forum. And they have a sort of back end to the platform where they can do tagging of the content. So they can go through it and they develop an ontology of the different concepts that are being discussed. And here, this has been tagged with common-based governance, among a lot of other things, by the ethnographers. Now, these show up as annotations in our ethnography tool. And basically, what we can do with this is then to develop an ontology. And here's really, here we go back just to how ethnographers work. This is no high-tech stuff. This is just ethnographers writing down all the different ontological concepts about a community's perception of the world in a code book, and they're just doing that together, defining the concepts very specifically, so that they know if something shows up again, is this actually clickbait, for example. They've defined what they mean by clickbait. We mean this and not that, in order to be able to do it scientifically and methodologically. So what we end up with, the data we end up with, is here. We have comments or posts, right? And we know that a comment or a post has been made by some person, and often it's been made in a reply to another person. And we know that it's been made at some certain time. And we also often have these codes, these ontological tags onto this. So that's all the sort of data that we have. And through this data, we can build really a map of the conversation as a network. So we end up with something like this. We have all these different people that have been talking to each other, and they have been talking to each other about different things that the ethnographers have then sort of mapped out a map of, saying that, okay, here conversation has been happening about design, diabetes, childcare, 3D printing. These are all real examples from a project called Open Care, which was about healthcare and welfare when the systems fail. So all real examples from a real project. And what we end up then with is this sort of map of how different concepts correlate. So this particular mapping is from the current next generation internet conversation. And here I've filtered it down to only look at the concepts that have been mentioned together four times or more. So this conversation is still in the early stages, which means that that network is not very sprawling. But we can already see a few interesting things. For example, people are talking about internet infrastructure together with both the Cambridge Analytica scandal and techno-solutionism. So that's being mentioned together. FOSS values are very prevalent, being mentioned together with technical maintenance, political economy, community education. Peer-to-peer systems are really very linked to a lot of things that are happening in the conversation as a whole. So we're able to sort of take this intelligence and we're able to map that onto what do we want to talk about next. So when we decide what are we going to do an event about or some sort of conference about, we really look at this to inform us on where to go next, right?
If I comment that on shortly, like basically we all know how the conference format is, that you submit and then somebody without you knowing makes the decision, okay, this and these topics are hot topics, without knowing like what the community is actually talking about. So this is
a way to be able to use really the collective intelligence of the people who are in the conversation instead of you just really just making assumptions. And then we can explore in this way too. We can, for example, focus in on here peer-to-peer systems. We can look at, okay, what are all the things that have been mentioned together with peer-to-peer systems? So how do people relate these concepts with each other? We can also look at what is the most popularly mentioned. 5G is the one ontological tag that is mentioned the most in this conversation. Sustainability, privacy, climate change. Interestingly, sustainability and climate change are really up there when people are thinking about also next generation internet technologies, which I think is really good because it hasn't been a lot in the last few years, but we're really seeing it now. And then we can start doing this sort of stuff. We have this sort of sprawling network. We can look at a subsection of that here, design intervention and mobility. And then we can look at the subgraph of people who have discussed those two things together and how they've discussed them with each other. So here we have a bunch of community experts on these two topics together. So that's the sort of stuff we can do with this. So then, just as Yuki was saying, how can we use this to create agendas for conferences or for seminars or for wider programs, really? Well, it's really just like this. You set up an online forum, you seed the conversation, you go out and you find the communities that are already talking about interesting stuff, that are already doing interesting stuff, and you bring them together and you ask them, what are you doing in your life? What is your story? Where are you coming from? And you let that feed into a collective intelligence. You do the semantic social network analysis and ethnography, which is hard work. That's real labor. That's people who are sitting down and they're really thinking about how do these things match with each other, and they're doing that from a perspective of understanding that they're subjective. Not trying to ignore it, they understand that they are subjective, but they've trained themselves to be able to at least sort of try to look beyond that and try to understand the perspective of this person as they see it. So you have this, you make that into data, and then you can feed that into meetings, seminars, meetups, events, and you let that feed into the forum, all the content from those events, create more content on the forum, and you let this go around like this.
Which is then, it basically, the potential benefits are like, imagine that people have been then discussing for a couple of months, and so a lot of work is done prior to the conference, which really enables that we can actually develop then actionable points on the particular theme, and also through introductory to the forum that people share their story, and that story is public on the forum, so people see a bit more insightfully who is who, and that also helps on.
Okay. So now you see sort of how we've been using this. Right now, EdgeWriters, we're using this for understanding next generation internet. We're using this to understand populism and radicalization in Eastern Europe. We're also starting to use it for understanding governance and actually for art. And I'm going to go into later at the last part of this talk what art we're doing with this. How can we use this for governance? I'm involved in this participatory event called the Borderland. It's in Denmark, a bit more than 3,000 people. completely decentralized in how it's organized. Nobody gets paid for everything, anything. And I did a whole talk at camp on that. So that's online as well if you're interested. But basically, we do this weird governance structure that's a mix of democracy and understanding how to do conflict resolution, people prototyping their dreams, and then this book called Reinventing Organizations. And we've all put that into a blender, and out comes some weird mixed hybrid that sort of works. But it's pretty cool. It's all done online. We have our own version of a platform called Lumio, at which we do all of the processes. Pretty much everything's transparent to the entire world. Everyone can come in and look at what we're talking about. Whoops. Can I go back? Yep. And I mean, the sort of stuff that is being talked about is really the governance of the borderland. Everything from should 13-year-olds be allowed to come for free if they come with a guardian, to what's our budget, to where is the electricity grid going to go, and how much electricity can you use, and by the way, can you use water boilers? I mean, all of this is really being decided transparently and online through this weird, messy process. And one thing we're looking into, it'd be really cool to use this sort of SSNA, collective intelligence and ethnography, to try to map out all the concepts. What are people talking about? And sort of trace it over time. Because what it could do, it could help new people that are coming into it to have sort of a meta perspective, to understand what are the topics that are being talked about right now, and to be able to explore who are the experts on a certain topic just by sort of delving into this little graph and clicking around. That'll be really interesting. For Black Rock City, if you're familiar with Burning Man, I think something that would be very interesting is to map out tags based on the actual locations in the city. So when a story comes out and they mention that I was in this quadrant over here when I had this happen, you could actually start mapping out how different places in that city feel to its inhabitants. And you could start having this sort of mapping of like, huh, I wonder why there are so many stories here about rich people with their, you know, phones and really flashy art cars. And I wonder why over here people are having a great experience, you know.
So that is a city of 70,000 people. And you are pointing rightly the locations of the rich people with phones, with the community, and yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I have an intuition that they're sort of over here, but, you know, yeah, I don't have any evidence down for it. It would be good to back that
and
up.
And the neighborhoods itself, they have a lot of, like, it's because it's radical city, the neighborhoods itself engage to conflicts and also start to work together. So that would be quite something.
Yeah, it would be cool to do that. Okay, last part of what I'm going to talk about is a weird thing we're doing with this SSNA and ethnography stuff right now. We got some funding from the Swedish Arts Council to do an art project based on ethnography and collaborative writing. And we're calling it Babel Between Us. It's really a large-scale experiment. We're inviting 18 writers that we're going to find all around the world to just write in an online forum without any prompts, without any further instructions, just write. And they get paid to write for about a duration of 6 months in 3 iterations. And we really want to explore whether ethnography can be used as a tool to mediate and sort of enhanced collective creativity process. Because at the same time, there'll be ethnographers who are reading what these authors write under pseudonyms, and they are supposed to use the perspective of ethnography of taking it at its face value, trying to understand this world as if it was coherent. Because the writers themselves are not writing in a coherent world from their perspective, but they're being influenced by each other as they are writing. So our hypothesis is this: as they keep writing, the world will probably start to be more and more coherent. And these ethnographers are going to have to try to understand that world as if it was. And at 2 different points, at the third, 1/3 through and 2/3 through, they will show that their map of how they understand this world to the writers. And the writers will then continue writing with that information. So this is basically an experiment to see what happens. We have no idea whatsoever, but we've started looking for writers. Right now we have applications from all of the Blue Dot places right now. We've just been had our application open for a week. So 25 countries and counting. We're hoping to get a lot more, especially down to the Southern Hemisphere. We're missing everything below this line. So I'm trying to get there. Only sort of limitation we have is that it will be in English, so people have to be reasonably proficient with that. But there are people all over the world who are excellent English writers. And this is sort of our application process. 5 minutes? Yeah. And this is our application process. We've developed this sort of hybrid form thing that takes some of the answers and puts them in a database, and some of the answers, which are the writing tests that the applicants go through, they take those and put them under a new account that is created for them on this online forum that we have for the project. So each contribution of these applicants, they are supposed to write one unprompted piece of fiction, just write whatever you want, and the other, they are shown a random prompt from a previous applicant, and they respond to that in some way. And then we get these sort of weird mixes, you know, like here we have one response to this and another response to that, and here we have this that is actually a response to something else, and now that's get a response, now this gets a response. So already in the application process, we're getting a lot of really interesting little twists and turns of mini stories that are happening. But then eventually they're not going to use this forum, of course. The 18 writers that are selected are just going to write in the forum. But we're hoping that they're going to use these little techniques of quoting and mixing together, and really, because that then we get really, really rich social data into to work with.
Which might result as a book or any type of publication. I think we should wrap up very quickly so we can take a couple of questions.
Yeah. So I'll say just a two-second thing. In the end, there will be some sort of map. So there will be a map visualization created of these concepts somehow. To be continued. But you can follow it on babblebetween.us. Okay, let's move on to some questions.
Yeah, thank you. And we have time for a couple of questions on either on the generic or on the conference setups or the bubble between us.
Yeah, I think we will have time for two questions, I think.
Yes?
Hi, thank you for your talk. I have a question on the corpus that you work with. So for an example, if you would look at the CCC, what would be the corpus that you use before to try to analyze what topics are most talked about? Would you just use the wiki, or would you use blogs all over the world to talk about technical topics?
Right.
And then there's this dualism of if you want to represent as well as possible what people are talking about in the whole community, it's a whole bunch of people. So are you more focused on a qualitative research, or is it more quantitative? Because if you want to represent, it has to be quantitative, but then you probably need some kind of computer-based analysis of the nodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be my next question of how you choose the nodes that you're looking at. Why it's
right.
only
so
nouns, not adjectives or verbs?
It's a great question. We only work with conversations that have been created especially for this purpose. So we don't try to analyze just any data out in the world. The only data we analyze is of conversations where people understand that they are in a conversation that will be analyzed. So then basically we just custom create communities and forums to explore the things that we're interested in exploring.
So in if I can second that, is that in the case of this particular conference, is that of course if we would include everyone that is affiliated with Burning Man, Borderland, it would be impossible. In terms of the resources of academia, what we have, it's on. Instead, invite the people to this particular forum, which would be then in the case of this community that you announce. Like, if you want to participate, come to this forum, and by registration, you consent that this will be studied as well.
And the response to the qualitative quantitative thing, it's absolutely qualitative. That's what it is. So it's very hard in ethnography always if you are working with, you usually can't say that it's representative for some huge group. You can say that this group that was invited through this came up with these concepts. But then if you can find interesting things in those concepts, and you can then make a quantitative study based on that. For example, if you find some very interesting thing that is very prevalent in this group, you can then ask for that specific thing in a survey in a quantitative way.
And so the forums are open.
That would fit together, I think.
Open even though you would not have registered. Like, it's that the content is available. One more? Do we have?
I think we don't have time left for another question. So thank you both for the talk. Give him a warm applause again, please.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting us and the lovely stage. Thank you.
Thank you.